Today, I want to show you something. It's something that I've used many, many times, and it's usually done on a napkin in a restaurant or at a dining room table or at a desk where I've shared the gospel with somebody. I'm going to show you a picture today. And the picture is the bridge illustration. How many of you have seen the bridge before? Okay. I'm not going to ask how many of you use the bridge, but I'm going to give you some scriptures today to go along with this. I guarantee you, if you take this seriously today, that the Lord this week will give you an opportunity to use this. Now, I do this twofold today because seated here today in this crowd are people that are still kicking the tires about Jesus. Are people that may have joined the church, may have gotten religious, may have started changing things around in their life, but you've never really had a true, genuine, life-changing encounter with the living Lord Jesus. And today, I'm going to be His instrument to share that with you through my very limited art skills. And this will prove to you that God can hit a straight lick with a crooked stick, if you didn't believe that before the day. Now, you may want to draw this out. You see, I draw it out on a little piece of paper. I'm going to shoot some scriptures at you today. And if you just get one of these, it'll be fine. There's an outline that'll go along with this. It goes by go-go. You'll see it in just a moment. But follow. Let's pray. Lord, I ask You to open our minds and our hearts right now. Let us see with the eyes of our soul. I'm praying for people who are seated here today that may be like I was years ago, member of a church, but not really sure of my position with You. I ask You, Lord, to speak today. And Lord, as You speak through this illustration, I'm asking You today that You'll bring to mind people in our lives who desperately need Jesus. Right now. In His name we pray. Amen. Now the other disclaimer I want to make is that any tug you feel at your heart today does not belong to me. It's the Holy Spirit who we invited early this morning to be here. And He is here present with us right now. You ready? Here we go. You start out where all of us start out. In the beginning, God. He is Lord over all. He's the one who spun this universe into existence. He's the one who made you, struck you in His own image. Just look around you and you see God's handiwork. He created man. Now, what was God's purpose for man? You look in John 10, verse 10, where Jesus says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have..." Let's try it again. "That you might have and have it more abundantly." Okay, so... if we're starting out with some points you can get here, we start out with the first point, and that's God's purpose. God's purpose. And God's purpose from the beginning has always been life. Life. He intended for us to have life and to have it abundantly. Now, let me ask you this. Did Adam and Eve have abundant life in the garden? How abundant was it? Pretty abundant. You know, going on walks every day with God, everything there you could imagine. They had been set over the creation. They got to name everything. Imagine that. Them and God. Whew, what a blessing. There was a unity there. But what happened? God's purpose was interrupted for man by something that created a chasm between God and man. What was that? Sin. Sin became the blockade between God and man. Romans 3:23. Anybody know what it says? Say it out loud. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, let me ask you, what or who is the glory of God? Who's the example? Who's the express image of God who showed, out of whose life we saw the glory of God shown forth? Who showed us that? Jesus. Yeshua. Yeshua. The glory of God. So, all sin. So, man fell in the garden. Sin entered into the world and it changed the world. It changed man. So, it separated man from God. We got a problem now. Ooh, so that's our second point. Remember go-go? Well, these are acrostics. God's purpose, our need. What a big need. That's a real big need. And that's the need of the world right now. All the violence, all the junk, all the stuff that's going on, all the terrible things that are happening in the world right now, all go back to this one thing where sin entered into the garden. Sin entered into the heart of man and separated man from God. And how does a man that is separated from God act? He acts just like he's separated from God. Redundant, eh? Let me say it again. Redundant, eh? You get it, Rick? Rick's, I'm just making sure Rick's awake over there. He's checking me on all this use of the English language. Okay. So, separated from God by sin. Now, sin isn't just an idea. Because sin separates us for all eternity. And there's a reason why I didn't put a bottom on this box here. For the wages, does anybody know what Romans 6:23 says? The wages of sin is death. Okay. Death, separation from life, separation from God. Remember, life is what God was about over here. That's what He wants for man. But man rejected that. Man rejected that and became a sinner by nature. And so everyone since the garden that's been born, every baby born into the world has been born with a sin nature. You have to teach a child how to do wrong? Anybody? Come on now. It's obvious. Do you know that psychologists, I've sat under PhDs and EdDs and, you know, people that are educated way beyond their intelligence that have tried to explain this to me and explain all of it, and they've run past the truth. Here's the truth. We're sinners. There it is. By nature and by choice. What is the terrible twos? The child has just gotten up to that point. You know, wait a second. Now, he's feeling his oats. I know y'all know some people that are 42 and 52 and 60. They're still in their terrible twos, right? Okay. So, the wages of sin is death. It's an eternal death. It's separation from God. And what is the biblical word for that? It's a definite place, hell. To be away from Him. Forever and ever. To be separated. But, okay, so there's the problem. You got the problem? That's the root of everything in the world today. But, what's the second part of that Romans 6:23 verse? The wage of sin is death. What we ought to get paid, that's what a wage is. A wage is something you ought to get paid. What you earned, what we earned by our sin is separation from God. But there's a big, big word there, but. And literally what it says in the original language, but the free gift of God. Wow. Free gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That brings me point number three. God's provision. God's purpose, our need, God's provision. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Remember what He's about? Life. That's what He's been about from the beginning. That's what He wants. That's why He sent His Son Jesus. We screwed it up in the garden. God was already planning. You know, the scripture in Revelation, it says, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He was already planning to send the Savior. Already knowing ahead of time what we were going to do. I don't understand that. I don't understand the sovereignty of God. I don't understand that He knows ahead of time. But He's God. So God can do whatever God wants to do. I just accept that as true. Just like I don't understand wind, but I put up a sail. I don't understand tides, but it didn't stop me from when I was broke down with my daddy out in Moon River and couldn't get back to the landing to wait for the tide to change and come back in. I didn't worry about a PhD dissertation on tides and how the moon affects that and understand all that. I just waited and I got in it and came on. So please today, don't think today you've got to understand all the whys about that. You just need to recognize what the truth is. Recognize what it is. See it plainly in front of your face. And do something about it. The free gift of God is eternal life. So here we were talking about hell before. Now we're talking about heaven. To be with Him forever. Now, there's a couple other scriptures I want to lay on you here. So, turn to 1 Peter 3:18. You probably don't have this one memorized. Anybody have this one memorized? First Peter 3:18. Here it says it very, very well. For Christ hath also once suffered for sin. Christ, Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, once suffered for sin. How did He suffer for our sin? What did He do? He died on a cross. Oh, let's put the cross in here. And when He died on the cross, what did He do? He took our sin upon His cross. The just, that scripture says, the just, what does the word just mean? Another word is righteous. You may have that in your translation. It's dikaiosune, the word that the righteous, the one who was absolute, who was a spotless, unblemished Lamb of God. This idea that, and people say, oh, you know, those parts, they minimize the parts of the gospel. Oh, that's not important. The idea that he was born of a virgin, the idea that he lived a perfect life. Now, yes, it is. Because he had to be perfect. Because it took a perfect lamb, a perfect sacrifice, who would go to the cross, and the just would die for the unjust. Remember? What do we say separates us? We are sinners. That's something you have to admit. You have to admit you've sinned. Maybe you struggle with that today. I've never known a person that's come to Jesus, truly had a life-changing experience with Jesus, and it's been, to use churchy language, saved, been redeemed, or that where their life has been changed. I've never known anybody that didn't realize first they had a problem. Until you realize you have the problem, you can't get to the solution. Are you following me? For Christ has also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might, and the verb here is bring us to God. So now our picture has changed, hasn't it? No longer is there this chasm and everybody's going to hell in a handbasket or whatever you want, however you want to say it, that everyone's separated from God. Now enter Jesus into the earth, and just like Jesus being on the cross, by the way, a good way to understand history, the only way you can understand history, any history majors here besides me? Anybody? History buffs? The only way to understand history, it's his story. And everything divides on Jesus. You know, even time. It's before him and after him. And they're jacking around with all that BCE and all that stuff. Hey, come on. And that's just another attempt to move you away from who is the centerpiece of history. It's all about him. It's all about him. History will tell his story. So, for Christ has also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So now, we have an option. You can receive Jesus in your life. Here's another couple of other scriptures that go along with that. John 1:12, as many as received him, to those he gave the power, the right, the privilege to call themselves sons of God. As many as faithed him, it's the word pistuo there. It means to faith. It means to throw your entire weight upon, your entire reliance upon. That's what I was trying to convey to children today. That's what faith is. Faith is not 99%. Faith in something is never part. It's all the way. It's 100%. That's what faith. When you totally trust someone, that means there's no reservation. That means that across that 100-foot gap, it's not 99 feet. It's 100. So, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says this, for by grace, it is the grace of God that would motivate him, his unmerited favor, that would say that he would send his unique one and only Son to this earth to die in our place. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's the grace of God through the agency of faith. If I can get a little technical here with, through that agency of faith. Does it happen until, and what does he say about that? For by grace you say through faith, and that is not of yourself. Even the capacity to be able to trust him is not of you. Even that is a gift from God. He gave you the freedom of choice. You're not a puppet. And for those who say that all that Christianity stuff, it's all about, you know, we're just puppets on. No. We have freedom to choose. He gives us, we stand at the precipice of our own salvation. We can use this bridge or not use this bridge. It's our choice. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works. Ooh, let's get with that for just a moment. So, how does man try to get across here? Well, let's examine a few things. Man will try to help little old ladies across the street. Little old ladies. Some of that is help Regina across the street. You knew it was coming. I'll pay for that. Where's Dane? Was Dane even, you're in here to enjoy it? Okay. I just want to make sure. Okay. Is she looking at me right now? Okay. All right. We'll try it through philosophy. The knowledge. Oh, I know plenty of people. I spent a lot of time, not much of it took, but in the community of the intelligentsia in my lifetime. I've got a lot of time. Rick's got a lot of time invested in that community. And there are a lot of confused people out there. And they'll tell you what they know is the absolute truth, and a year later their book is extinct. You think about how many textbooks on science from 20 years ago are true today. Let's just do the track record. 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I've been keeping track since I did the 1964 fold-out in the yearbook for the Encyclopedia Britannica. And they had those little plastic things where they would show you the evolutionary stages and how all that. You know what they would say about that today? What they showed there and there? Oh, none of that's true today. Well, what's true? Is it just true because you say it? You know, there's something that's been true all along. This book. So all the philosophies of men, they come short. So good works all fall short. And everything that falls short, what happens to man? Where does he end up? Separated from God for all eternity. But there is one answer. And what did we find? 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ hath also suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And as many as received him, to those he gave the power, the right, the privilege to become the sons of God. So, it begs a response. You have a choice. Turn with me to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Scripture says there, for if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He's talking about a confession that comes from you. You see, 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. What does confession mean? When you confess something, what do you say? You say, I did it. It's not making excuses. Oh, how many judges just love to see people come in and not make excuses and just say, you know, last police officer pulled me over. So, Mr. Reynolds, we got you clocked going in a 55. Now, I was on my way home from a religious event. I had my Bible on the seat. I tried to look spiritual. No. He came up in his Smokey the Bear hat and he leans over and smiles. He said, could I see your driver's license, please, sir? Yes, sir, I had it ready. He goes back to the car. You know, they must sit back there and wait in eternity. You know, they like to dangle you across the fire. Any police officers here? Okay. He comes back up and he's got this big grin on his face. He said, you know, Mr. Reynolds, you were doing in a 55, and I thought about making an excuse. I thought it was running through my mind what this lady I know very, very dearly who used the old fly in her eye trick. You know, and she even had a dead fly that would keep it in the car.
Oh, no.
Wait a second, I've just given you an idea. Please, I don't want to contribute to your delinquency here. I thought all those things went through my mind. And then I looked at him and I said, yes, sir, that's exactly how fast I was going. And he stopped. And he looked at me. And I got a warning. God's looking at you today. He's taking an inventory of your soul. He knows you. And He's waiting on you to come in agreement with Him. Because until you confess means to agree with. He's waiting on you to come in agreement with Him about the state of your soul. Because He can't save you until you're lost. Now, yes, you are lost. But you've got to admit and that you're separate and that you have no other way of salvation. That's why the Scripture says, there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. No other name. Only by Him. So, when I decide to take that walk of faith, by the way, I could keep putting a smiley face over there. Probably need to put a sad face over there. But let me tell you, it takes faith to walk to the other side. Now let me give you an illustration you can use. Many of you have heard this illustration before. I want to remind you of it. It's a great illustration to use with people when you're trying to show them what faith is. We got some folks here. Mr. Drabeck's brother is here. Glad to have you all today. Niagara Falls, true story. You know the story I'm about to tell. Guy's got a tightrope across Niagara Falls. He's out there drawing a crowd. He's walking across. That'll draw a crowd. How many of you have been to Niagara Falls before? actually talked to a guy who verified this story for me, that this is actually a historical event that took place years ago. He's walking across on the tightrope. And you know what it looks like, man. That's a long way down. Very few people have survived that fall. Gets a crowd on both sides. Comes to the crowd on one side and says, well, you think I can walk backwards? Getting a few believers now, yeah. So he walks backwards. You think I can walk on my hands? Got a few more believers there. They're getting with it. He jumps off the tightrope, gets a wheelbarrow. He said, you think I can push this wheelbarrow across? He pushes a wheelbarrow on the tightrope. This guy's good. Boy, by that time, he gets to, and they're cheering. Oh, man. Man, the grace. So he gets the wheelbarrow and he puts the sacks of sand in the wheelbarrow. He said, you think I can push this across? Man, they're cheering. He stopped. He takes the sand out of the wheelbarrow. He says, if you really believe, come get in. That's right. Nobody got in the wheelbarrow. And that day, what was proved? No one really believed in Him. Because when you really believe, that means you throw your entire weight upon someone else. That literally is what that Greek verb means. It means to throw your weight completely on someone else. That is the only way we can come to Jesus, is to throw our entire weight upon Him. And we can be with Him forever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. What that means is, I'm doing this, shall be saved. Have you ever trusted Jesus like this? Go, go. God's purpose is life for you. Our need is we have sinned and we're separated from God. God's provision is the fact that He sent His unique one and only Son to be our Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave us, John 3:16, His only begotten Son. Our response. What is your response? Trust. I'm going to stand here by myself today. Gary's going to play. We're going to pray. And I'm calling on you today. It's been an evangelism day today. If you missed this morning, 9:30, you missed a treat. I'm calling on you to trust in Jesus. I'm calling you publicly to say, Jesus, I want you in my life today. You can simply do that. I'll pray with you right here. We can make this transaction happen today. That happened in my life when I was 15 years old. That happened, me and God alone in my room, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, July 19, 1970. Never forget the day, never forget the place. I can take you to the concrete and on the floor where that happened in my bedroom where my folks live today. Now, some people... You may not be able to get that pinpoint about your salvation experience, but you know the Lord came into your life. I'm not going to quibble with you about that. That's a wonderful thing. Ruth Graham, she said, I know that I've received Jesus in my life. So So don't get caught up in all that. But I want you to know today, He's ready to come into your life. If you have a question, you want to pull the card. Maybe today you're reluctant about walking down here. I'm calling you out publicly to confess Jesus. Read the Gospels. Everybody called out publicly. I'm calling you publicly to confess Him today as Savior and Lord of your life. But maybe you have some questions. Put on that card. I'd love to parlay with you about it. Let's look at the facts. Let's look at the book. See what the Lord says. Let's pray together. It's up to you. He loves you that much. It's an eternal love affair. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here right now. Thank you that you did all the work. We can't work our way into heaven. It's only by your blood, Jesus. Your blood on the cross. Lord, you arose on the third day with a victory. We sang it today. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Lord, right now, we're going to tell Satan, get thee behind. Thank you for speaking to us today. I'm here, the altar's open. In the quietness of this moment, you can come. Look this way, if you will. We'd sure like to get those cards from you today. Just leave that up, John, if you can get it back. There you go. It's just, I love John. I love John. John, don't I love you? Say it out loud. Okay. Audrey thinks that I'm mean to John sometimes. I'm never mean to you, Emma. John. All right. We'd sure like to get those cards from you today if you filled out the envelopes. If you have an offering to bring, we'll just let you bring that up here afterwards. And the reason why John put that up there, he's scared I was going to take a picture of this and put it on the internet. And so we're not going to do that. But can we post that on our... Okay. So you can go get that on our website this afternoon when John has time to put it up there. So the Lord bless you. But please, we need to get those cards, those envelopes from you. There's a basket back there and baskets up here. And we're going to go out on this song. I heard this song we sang earlier at the entrance of a coal mine during a strike in West Virginia. Coal miner strike. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, under a tent, we were having an evangelistic meeting there, and this trio of these gals sang this song that we're going to go out on. We've already sung it today. Hit it.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine.